Welcome back
to
Overkill.
Is that a kids show?
Yep, it sure is.
It unequivocally is.
Yeah, yep, don't care. Welcome back to Overdunk, everybody. My name is Zoinks, and you are listening to your favorite competitive Pokemon Unite podcast. We are in episode 76, and we are on the other side of the North America International Championships. Of course, the North America Regional Finals Top 8 just happened. An incredible tournament. The environment was fun. The teams were amazing. Our casting was pretty great. It was an awesome event all around. I had a ton of fun. But of course, I am joined by two folks who were also there. So I just want to hear how everyone's weekend at NAIC was. Then, how was your weekend?
I mean, you know, it was a lot of fun getting to meet everyone, obviously. Mm-hmm. For those of you that were there, you know, I was a little antisocial for a lot of it. Just a very big, overwhelming event, a lot of headaches.
Mm-hmm.
But all in all, you know, it was a lot of great memories. No one treated it for real world.
Well, good. I mean, I'm glad you are feeling that way. Yes, these environments with so many people can be tough, but I'm glad you had your moments where you're able to enjoy it, find your tribe, that kind of thing. Deucenext, how about you? How did you enjoy NAIC?
Oh, yeah, loved it. It was awesome. Loved finally getting to put the names to people's faces that, mm-hmm. you know, I know you and I, you know, being in London for Worlds last year, we got to actually naturally meet a lot more of the EU community because of that.
Right.
So EUIC was obviously great, but I felt like we had met quite a few of those individuals. So it was like kind of touching base again. But NA, I mean, it's been 2 years. We haven't really met any of these folks mm-hmm. unless they qualified for Worlds last year. So seeing all these names that we've been casting over and over again for the last 2 years was amazing. So yeah, nothing but positive things to say from that. So meeting the players, meeting the community members, yeah, can't say enough about it.
Yeah, I completely agree with the sentiments said so far. I had so much fun. The games were pretty incredible across the entire tournament, even starting with some amazing first round games and all the way to the end. I thought it was awesome. I tweeted about it. I definitely think the crowd was like the biggest MVP for me. I mean, it was unreal. Like, we are way backstage when we are casting at these international championships, and we can hear like all of it. Like, we can hear all of it because the Unite crowd is just going bonkers. Like, I mean, the other games definitely were like, we want to try to capture something of that if we possibly can, because it was sick. It was so, so fun. So thank you, everybody, for being a huge part of it. I know people in Twitch chat were hyping up the event as well. So it was sick all around. Why don't we just do a quick, like, if you had a cool moment you want to call out around NAIC. We'll talk a little bit more about, like, the specifics of the matches and games and stuff. But for those of the people that were there, were hanging out, or maybe the people who unfortunately could not make the event, what was something really cool that you're going to be like, that specifically, that was a ton of fun? It doesn't be a specific moment either. Just like a general call out. Whatever. It's up to you. Ven, why don't you kick us off?
General, like, specific call out for what I enjoyed about NAIC?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. I would say, you know, first of all, like, obviously, like I said, meeting everybody in person was really cool. I think that there was a really awesome, the series between ASU and TTV, like, actually, honestly, like, literally every single set of top four was so fucking hype.
Mm-hmm.
But especially, like, that third place and fourth place matches, like, ASU YouTube and ASU TTV. I'd probably pick ASU TTV as my like favorite one. We're so
unreal.
Great to watch.
Yeah,
and every like every game was so close. Like, there was no like,
yes,
outside of like literal round one, there was no like, or like, even if you look at grand finals, which was technically 6-1, those, like, it didn't feel 6-1, right? Like, it those were so like, all those games were super awesome to watch.
Yeah, it went down to the wire every single time, like adaptations. I don't know. Those two teams, like, just the hunger you could tell from both those rosters was unbelievable. And yeah, I'm seeing some in chat, by the way, of people showing their favorite moments as well. Please, 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 this whole episode, throw some in. We'll call some out. Bridget, however, is not allowed to say anymore because she did say that she liked ulting me in my own jungle when I was only a Pupitar in the Learn to Play event, which I still resent. I really do blame Summertime, though, for coaching a brand new player to play Comfey on their Blastoise and chase me down every single engagement in that entire 10 minutes. But it's okay, I digress. Doopsnacks, how about you? What was your favorite thing about the entire event?
I'm The event itself was my favorite thing, of course. So I'm going to actually take something that happened outside of the event, specifically, but in the sphere of Pokemon Unite community-dom, I guess. And that was, so actually, Spragos and I got to interview Lutano's dad during the event for a content piece where the mic's actually kind of duffed up. So that might be kind of lost in the ether, but that was really good. But ultimately, it got us a chance to talk to Lutano's dad and how supportive he has been of Lutano and Zug as well, because they've kind of been attached to the hip for a long, long time in other games. But then getting to talk to Lutano's dad further later that evening, ultimately getting the Lutano, the Dad Tano jersey, and then getting that signed by all the members of TTV. Like, I feel like it's like a Super Bowl one, like, holy relic thing. It's badass. I've got it. I can't wait to frame it up. I think I'm going to put a picture of them lifting the trophies as well, throw that in kind of like one of those shadow boxes. And it's going to go up in my my little casting room. So fun fact, side effect. Last time I was casting on camera, casting or doing Overdunk on camera, my basement was being worked on. That's still being happening. But in there, I'm actually going to have like a little casting studio where I can actually start hanging all my stuff, and it's going to be in there. So I will say, outside of the event itself, that was probably my my favorite moment.
Cool. Well, look forward to a new studio tour on Unite Mike's YouTube of Dude Snacks' new studio. Cannot wait. It's going to be sick.
It's going to be quick.
But it's going to be sick. I'm excited for it. Yeah, if anybody is listening and like you just saw the broadcast, you didn't see any of the photos that people were posting in the event, yeah, Dude Snacks got the Dad Tano jersey. So one thing led to another. Now he owns it. Now it's signed by the team. So that is definitely an iconic moment. I've seen some more favorite moments when Deucenex rolled up to us on a scooter while we were walking down the street. So
Deucenex, I almost killed myself. Fun fact about that. I hadn't been on a bike in so long that I forgot the right hand brake is the front wheel, not the back wheel. And I slammed that thing to go talk to the group of folks. And I I popped up on my front wheel for like 3 feet and almost buckled. So I'm glad I didn't yeet myself off the planet. But that was a great moment. Shout out.
Shout out to almost dying on a scooter. Yeah, those are definitely good times. I think my favorite moment was like just coming out and seeing the crowd losing their minds for each event. I really do want to hold on to that. I think that was so cool. But yeah, outside of that, I mean, having the chance to be able to cast that losers finals between TTV and ASU was pretty cool. Like being able to just lose my mind, that was definitely fun. But yeah, I think let's start getting into the game. So let's talk about everybody's favorite game. So Ven, you already talked about Amaterasu TTV was definitely your favorite game out of the event. Deucenex, are you the same way, or did you have another game that kind of stuck out as your favorite?
Yeah, it's really tough to beat that moment, specifically that game three between ASU and TTV. I really think, like Ven said, like all of top four, like hardcore delivered, like it was kind of Banana Lands. I think the only maybe exception you could make is TTV against YT.
Okay.
No, who'd they get eliminated by? Is it ASU?
It was ASU. So that ASU.
Like that one was still pretty good. But I think the subsequent matches were so much bigger and more hype that it kind of dwarfed it in that sense. But yeah, like top four was great. Zoink said it a million times. Like I don't think we could have written the script better for ourselves if we tried. So I mean, I think that says it all.
Yeah.
I think the ASU YouTube match was kind of weird because like only one of those teams stuck to a stake in that match. Like that result didn't actually matter for either. It didn't matter for either of the teams because ASU had already gotten travel award at that point. It's kind of funny. Yes.
Yeah. When TTV was cut or YouTube was in there. Yeah, they're fine.
Yeah. And like I know from talking to Team YouTube beforehand, like all like literally all their prep was in the match before that. And of they course. Were like, if we get to ASU, we get to ASU. Oh well. That hurts the stakes a little bit. But it was still super hype regardless. They both of them on fantastic shows.
Yeah. Team YouTube, we all knew, like, their personalities are definitely going to be so much fun to have on stage. And I think if we, like, kind of nailed anything as in terms of production this weekend, it was getting to showcase that stage. Like everyone remembers, like, of course, like, Uzi, like, just going nuts in the camera the whole time, to the point that, like, the production team just, we were laughing, like, Chef and I behind me, like, they're just not showing anybody else, because why would you? Just the whole time. They didn't go to any other player for the entire match the first time they were on stage, because Uzi was just speaking a mile a minute, which was awesome. And so I think we really got some great interviews on stage. The stage itself looked a little bit cooler than EUIC. I think the stage graphics got a bit more, got a bit better, a bit cleaner, and we also got to showcase those two the Twitch stream, which is kind of awesome that they were coming up on stream as well, like the stage shots and stuff. So just trying to, like, bring in everyone to that same experience, I thought was really, really cool. So Regi graphics were definitely lit. I always think the Rayquaza one's really cool. There's, like, tornadoes everywhere and stuff. I like tornadoes, I guess. It's just sort of my thing. So that's my favorite graphic. But yeah, I liked it a lot. And so now at the end, we have our four teams. They were definitely the most likely teams, but still it was a great event to decide them. We now have TTV, Luminosity, Amaterasu, and Team YouTube all being the North American representatives to Worlds, which I think is a pretty epic lineup for NA to be going to Worlds. Like, there is so much talent in our top four teams, which is so exciting. It is funny that we are sending two streaming platforms to the World Championships in Japan. Hopefully,
please, God, get a sponsor.
Please. I don't care if they're offering pennies. Just take them. Yeah. We cannot have Twitch.
Was it
ASU
going to pull up as ASU's going to pull up as a mixer?
Arizona State.
Oh, yeah. Arizona State, or yeah, Deuce, we were saying Team Mixer. Team Mixer, Team Kick.
Team Kick.
Team Kick, Team TikTok.
No, we're good.
All right, I'll take TikTok streaming, whatever it needs to be. We'll see if we can get it done. But either way, I think it was a really nice little event. I think everybody mostly agrees. Again, events were fun. Now, one thing that was definitely talked to the players as soon as they got there, wasn't made super public or anything like that, but now that it's already happened, the players know what's going on, we can talk about it. This event was the first time that we got to play on an actual LAN client. Yep. In game, which I think zero is ping. So cool. So we're down to zero ping. I asked so many players about it because I was so curious about how it actually felt. Yeah, there were some like stage connection issues a couple of times. From what I could tell, I don't think those were forever from client side. It was like connections or whatever. I can't say for sure. I don't know. But either way, I thought it was super cool. Ven, how are your players feeling about it? Being on LAN client, did it feel good for some? Was it, like, tough to adjust?
Oh, they loved it. Like, it felt so good. That's kind of like, that's what been one of our, like, bugbears of online tournaments.
Yes.
Was we just absolutely fucking hate playing at 100 ping on three players every single game. and yeah, it was, like, super, super, like, awesome. Like, you could see, like, I mean, like, you saw it in action, right? Like, the Lapras, like, illusion that Overlord pulled off in, like, mid one time.
That one was kind
of stuff. There's a lot of, like, really clutch full heals that I saw from a variety of different players that I don't think would have happened on ping.
Yeah.
It was just awesome.
Yeah, I think overall amazing. Like, I was talking to Ender at the airport before we were able to fly out, and they were saying that Grass Knot on Comfey feels playable and great on zero ping, which is, like, really cool that we're getting, like, new options are even emerging because of it. And we definitely knew that on some Pokemon, right? Like, some skill shot based, you're like, you just can't play this. You just can't do this on ping. So very, very cool that we are entering into that stratosphere, and we're just seeing more of that that skill level really appear. Now, Dupesnex, we talked a lot before this event about if we would have players show up as, like, who are the players that are going to show up as, like, Lanimals, you know? Like, who walks into this event and just gets a gigantic upgrade to NASC? We kind of knew LG would get that a little bit. I think they definitely did. That Winners Finals game was electric from them. But if you had to, like, give any shout-outs to players that just, like, blew you away when they were on the main stage, would you have any call-outs?
Yeah, without a doubt. So first you mentioned LG, but I think specifically it's impossible to mention LG without Kurios, who is
Oh
just
my
playing out of
God.
his
Do you know the
gourd, dude.
story of how he popped off so hard that he disconnected Rin's monitor?
Monitor? I thought it was like an internet thing. It was his whole
It was
monitor?
both. It was
Oh,
both.
that's really hard pop off.
The
Wow.
admins were like, please stop doing that.
You can't stop him. You cannot. Oh man, that's crazy. All right, sorry. Continue, Snacks. Yeah.
So that was definitely a land boost. I think another team that got a land boost specifically was Ginyuforce. I think everybody on that team, I even tried to call it out. There was one particular game where every single player had like some ridiculous S tier highlight moment to win them the game. Maybe it was against Rogue or whatever, but it was sick. Like it was insane. Just like a crazy KD secure from like long range on a basement Reggie, which was nasty. That and of course, obviously, everybody on the team just kind of going out and playing out of their gourd. And then it's kind of not to mention the winners as well. I think Lutano got a huge buff, a huge buff. And I'm ultimately at the end of the day, I'm just really proud TTV decided to understand what Rayquaza is and does and tried to take it for themselves. And they won themselves some games, so
They
good
certainly
on
did.
them.
Does the narrative finally die? Can we stop bringing this up every broadcast when TTV comes on? Can we finally abandon it? Probably not. We're gonna bring it up every time. Can't wait. Can't wait. But yeah, I think it was six. So congratulations to the champs, obviously, of TTV. But hey, shout out to your team, Vin. I mean, second place is not an easy task with how stacked that top eight team was. I know grand finals didn't go your way. I definitely saw that bounce back game in that grand finals after the reset. I was like, okay, LG's back. Here we go. Fortunately, not going your way. But I definitely think North America proved themselves as a world level talent. But I want to ask your two opinions. After watching NAIC, is that enough of a resume for us to be like, okay, North America is going into Worlds as one of the strongest regions right now? And what I'm essentially asking is, are we better than EU after watching this tournament? Deuce Max, what do you think?
Watching this tournament, I think so.
Okay.
I think so. I think EU's number one is in a better spot than either LG or TTV, just based on the volatility that those teams have experienced throughout the year. But I think 1-4, I think NA is better.
Interesting.
Copium, call it whatever you will. I obviously I've said this before, I'll say it again. I desperately want NA to win another world championship because eventually we're going to start losing them and never be able to see a championship again. So we got to fill up that trophy case now. So
Sure.
whatever. We'll say I'm riding on Hopium.
Okay. All right, Ven. Well, how about you? What are your vibes towards it all? I mean, you scrim so many of these regions and everything like that. What are you thinking about North America comparison to the world?
I think that how do I think that EU versus NA is still going to be really, really close.
Oh, I can't wait.
I think we have a very slight advantage because we got to play on zero ping L, L Europe, of course.
Hell, Europe.
It's definitely gonna be really, really close. I'm really excited to, once we get to Japan, be able to scrim Talibobo and everything without the limiters of ping. But I don't know. Like it's hard to really call one on top, though my NA bias is of course
No.
telling me to go NA on top. Let's go, baby.
Okay. Well, strangely enough, I'm not the homer of this. I think EU might still be a little stronger.
I
TTV
mean,
had a crazy run.
I see Celestial in chat saying EU's getting swept. That's just like last year, baby. Let's go.
Run it back, let's go. Peps is kind of cracked. Yeah, I think, I don't know, we've always said this Talibob is another world in our top four. I mean, Amaterasu versus Peps sounds like a banger match to me. Like, if we were to pit those two teams against each other, TTV versus Nouns is iconic. Like, I don't know, I think it could not be more even, right? It's crazy, but I'm gonna give a slight edge to Europe, so we'll see.
You okay? Let me ask you a question, a counter question back to you, Zoinks.
Okay.
Who's okay?
I also think Time to Shine beats YouTube. Anyway, next. Sorry, go ahead.
Whose mental across all four teams for their region is stronger, EU or NA?
Ooh.
Who's got tougher EU. Mental between the two regions?
Yeah, Ben's in the thick of it. I don't know, though. There's some talk about some mental on a couple of EU teams.
It's definitely EU.
Okay. So definitely use the vote. I don't know. I'm not too sure. Okay, Amaterasu's mental impressed me a lot in this tournament. Mm-hmm. Actually, they had a hard time. Let's face it; like, they had some really unfortunate circumstances, and they were able to bounce back. They were able to really well perform. They had a call out on stage interview with Yeet Fan. Shout out! I don't know. I think it's gonna be. I might put North America's. Oh, no, I really don't know. I honestly, it's so hard to tell. Actually, how about
I will
you,
also
Snacks?
Say,
where are you going to
shout out? I'll let Duke Snacks say that. I was going to respond to something you said about EFAN.
I just don't know. I haven't been in the weeds too. So the difference between NA and EU, for like my perspective, is after EUIC and we were all hanging out with the EU teams, all those people talked about was Unite. So it was just like a massive download I got to do on every single individual on Unite. Mm-hmm. Whereas hanging out with NA, it was we are here because of Unite, but we forged friendships outside of Unite based conversations, whereas EU is kind of like, for me anyways, my experience was a lot based in Unite.
Interesting.
So I don't actually know where the mental sits, but to your point, I think ASU really showed resiliency that I think a lot of teams would have boomed out of that situation without a doubt. But also I've had conversations with some teams in EU where like the way they talk about how they approach the game, it doesn't matter who is next to them as long as they're playing and doing the thing and not letting personal beef get into the way of what they're doing like in the ruins, then it just doesn't matter to them.
Okay.
Which I think is a very unique approach, which I think is why a lot of the EU teams have, for the most part, you know, Time to Shine included, like stayed together longer because they can have beef, but if in game it doesn't matter, then they just keep plugging forward.
Yeah.
Which is maybe not the best thing, of course, but sure. it was something that is admirable in some sense. So.
Well, hey, I mean, shout out to the Doomsnack line of thinking. I mean, rosters stick together more successful long term. I mean, out of the eight teams that North America and EU brought, the roster changes have been extremely minimum on, I would say, six out of eight of them, right? I mean, YouTube having very few changes, Amaterasu sticking the way through the whole year, one change on LG, two changes on TTV. So, like, just very, very minimal. Swap ups throughout the whole way. So, yeah, I don't know. Mentally, will be interesting. I think once we get to Worlds and we get to start seeing a little bit of the, you know, the content pieces and how teams are treating it, I think that'll be interesting. But let's pivot our discussion towards Worlds now. So this was our final event of the season two regional season, I'll call it. So without international competition. So now the next event is going to be the World Championships. And just today, sorry, breaking news on Overdunk, we actually have the official announcement to talk about. So let's pull that up on screen so everybody can see that one. Yeah, here we go. The 2023 Pokemon Unite World Championships. This is the player information, of course. Just the date, Friday, August 11th, after the opening ceremonies at approximately 9:30 a.m. Japanese Standard Time, which actually I'm pretty sure is pretty decent North American time. If I remember, it's like early evening. I think that it'll kick off in NA, so that's not too bad. But yeah, here we go. Obviously, the qualification of all the teams, two teams from Brazil, four teams from Europe, three teams from Latin America North, two teams from Latin America South, four teams from North America, two teams from Oceania, four teams from Japan, two teams from Korea, and then three teams from both Asia Pacific East and West, and then two teams from India. So these are all the invited teams. Of course, there is definitely a lot of talk going around about some of the teams that didn't earn a travel award. Will they be able to make it? Not too sure, but still a very large invitation tournament. Now, this is where it gets kind of interesting. The tournament format and structure. We are basically doing a run back of what happened last year of a group stage on day one and a top eight bracket on day two to complete the tournament, which means we are going from 31 teams in the group stage, cutting them all the way down to just eight teams for day two, and then doing a top eight bracket all in one day. Thoughts on this, Ven?
Dude, how the fuck?
Yeah, that's been kind of the general vibe that I've seen online of people talking about it, yeah.
Are there four groups? Are there eight groups?
I would be shocked if there was eight. I would be really shocked if there was eight. But it could be.
How are they going to have the time to do all of this?
Yeah, that is going to be interesting. So, obviously, these groups would be likely played. I mean, it's said right here in the structure announcement that it is played round robin. So, we are going to be playing these games. Everyone play everybody else in their group. And we're cutting down to eight. So, seven groups of four, one group of three. I would really be surprised by that. I think it's four groups of two seeds coming out each. Deucenex, what are your thoughts on this one? Just initial impressions.
Yeah, I mean, initial impressions, of course, we'd all like to have more days, right? Like, I don't think we're beating around the bush here. I think, you know, something I can shed a light on is just logistically, the options were, you know, we have 2 days, right? The game, like, Unite is given 2 days. Do you still have less invites? Or... like, if it was less invites this year, right, and it was, like, one CP, one regional winner, like, LG's not there, right? So, like, is that something you want and not see every game? Or do we want to have less teams, show more games, trying to get everybody on stage, this, that, and the other? So it's really, you know, you can't have your cake and eat it, too.
Sorry, I'll let you finish. Sorry, I've been interrupting too much tonight. I apologize.
No, it's all good. I mean, that's pretty much my point. Does it suck? Okay. Obviously. Do we want more days? Of course. But until Unite is stitched within the fabric of the other mainline games, we have headwinds to face, and we have to try and make chicken salad out of chicken shit sometimes. And obviously, having 31 teams in 2 days is not ideal, but I'd rather have 31 teams than have... again, I think LG is like a perfect example. Like, NA is a perfect example. If it's CP and region winner, like, we just don't have LG, and that doesn't feel right, you know? So I'd rather have more teams than not.
Nouns would also be there. Yeah. No, we wouldn't have Peps, right? That would be the word.
Correct.
Yeah. Peps after a crazy run, but they get to beat Nouns. Like, that would be exactly. A bummer there, too. You had thoughts here, Ben.
Okay. Obviously... this is something that has ticked me off a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Is this whole conversation around the Travel Award thing. Y'all arguing for giving every single team a Travel Award is going to make them reduce it out of 16. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Because that's not like they're not going to pull over $300,000 out of their ass. Like, let's think about the money we're talking about.
Yes. Right? That is a large number.
I don't even, like, they actually might even be more this year, right? It's like, last year was, what, 3.5K per player? You're multiplying that by fucking six players of a team. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's like $2,400, or I can't do math.
No, it's more for sure.
Yeah, it's about $24,000 per team, you want to add.
It's about $24,000 per team, right? And so, like, there's another 15 teams, like, that's not happening, right? Like, you're well over 300 grand. It's good that we got this, right? Like, it's good that, you know, we got more people coming. Obviously, not everybody's going to get to go that didn't get the Travel Award. We are, you know, us at LG are very grateful and fortunate to have a sponsor. We are going. I will make that very clear right now.
Oh, awesome. Hey, you heard it here first, folks. Luminosity Gaming is going to Worlds.
Yes.
Sorry. Anyway.
And you know, like, I think a lot of the Western teams are going to have to, are going to go. Like, I would imagine all of top
I would imagine all the EUs going on. Imagine, like, assuming the like fundraiser event goes well.
Yeah, more on that later, by the way. We're going to talk about some cool community efforts to try to get some of those teams to Worlds that we are going to be helping with. So anyway, more on that later. Go ahead.
You know, and like, it's going to suck for a lot of the South American teams. That those are the people that really suffer from it. That's just kind of how the economy is. But I would rather have more teams have the opportunity to compete. In my ideal world, you know, Unite's a three-day event. And I think in the future, hopefully that'll happen. I don't know. I think we have more than enough to justify it being a three-day event.
We have some arguments for it for sure. I think you kind of wrapped up most of the community sentiment to its full there, Vin. I think that is true. But Dude's Next, you're right as well. Like, it is... You can't have your cake and eat it too. I think that is this year correct. I think we all want more in the future. And I think this year we've proved that Unite as a product could definitely deserve even more like broadcast time and everything. Like, I think what this game has done great esports wise initially was prize pool. I think this prize pool has been amazing since the start of the game on the official championship series. And I think increasing that is going to be really cool. So
Hold on one second. So Gamma said they already do pay that much. EUIC 8, NEIC 8 with World 16, that's 32. Okay. So if you're, I think this is tongue in cheek, so I'm going to pretend it is, because if it's an actual suggestion, I'm sorry, that's banana lands. You don't.
Want you to like, just to know Gamma's vibe. They are saying like, it's like they're already at that level, like paying more would be egregious, I think is the decision, that spot they're coming from in. But yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay. Which is why I'm taking it that way. Just, just in case that's, but let's break that down just quickly. First off, obviously that wouldn't guarantee any diversity or guarantee any as much diversity at Worlds as possible. Second, obviously it's unfair to regions that actually get LAN opportunities to shun out other regions, to effectively take, you know, 16 teams' money away from other regions, right? And redistribute it to just one region. Mm-hmm. That's silly. And lastly, if those two LAN events have proven anything, is that we need to have as many of those as we can. And also shifting around of prize pool, maybe even at Worlds, and front load it to the top more so you can trim some off the back and get more lands for these regions going. You know, having one at OCIC, having one at LAIC, you know, LATAM, and of course Oceania is amazing. So
LATAM, LAIC, if we invite
LAIC, like, would go so
Brazil
hard.
And Latin America, North and South, and of course if we could get NA in there as well, but just like that event would go crazy. I mean, I just want more intercontinental competition.
I want to shake Baby Mazo's hand.
That crowd is banana lands. They are insane. Also, last thing I want to say, I saw somebody at, how is our turnout as compared to other games? The only time Pokemon Unite did not have the biggest crowd was on Sunday, Championship Sunday, when we simply weren't broadcasting games. That is the only time that happened this weekend. And even when other events were hitting their top eights on late Saturday, if we were still going, we were like absolutely shattering them. We were taking over like half the TCG area. You know, you couldn't, the casters couldn't hear what was going on because the crowd was going so berserk. I mean, Unite is unequivocally the Pokemon esport, and it's not even particularly close, right? Every other game, I think, could have believed them to be until this game was created. I think we just kind of get the crown on that. So, long story short, I mean, this game is dope, and it's especially dope in person. It's especially awesome in person. I think anybody that's in this chat that was there at NEIC or at EUIC can co-sign on that, because it was crazy.
Uh-huh.
It's a lot more fun to watch than watching two stupid looking deers click 30% moves on each other.
Listen,
Ben, chill. Chill.
Ben, you're sounding a lot like Dupe Snacks right now. This is concerning.
I will say this. I watched two games of VGC, and in the third game, I called the first six moves with having never played the game before. So there's the opportunity for variance, but sometimes you just gotta click your buttons in the right order, and that's kind of what happened. So
Okay, but to be fair, if it was the junior division games, they played out literally the same way for the first six turns.
But the peak content. Oh my word, those children were so adorable. Oh, they were the best. A lot of fun. Junior division for Unite, probably never going to happen, but if it did, it would be hilarious. It would be so fun to watch. Cool. Well, last thing I wanted to touch on, though, is, of course, just the award values I have here on screen. $100,000 going towards the first place team, and then payout goes all the way down to the top 16 placement. So it does mean that not everybody's winning prize money to go to these events. Not going to lie, I kind of like that. I mean, teams are getting paid to travel. Some teams aren't getting paid to travel, which is unfortunate. But remember, if you qualify for this event, your regional payout also exists. So, I mean, the qualifiers actually also have a huge prize pool for the World Championships, if you think about it that way. So, yeah, it's a risk for some of these teams to pay to come here and have a chance of not winning prize money. But the chance definitely is there. I think that's pretty cool. So, top 16. All getting paid out, which is pretty neat. But yeah, I think that's basically what we should... I think it's basically wrapping up the discussion around this World Championships announcement, unless anybody has anything else they'd want to say.
I would like want to say one more thing. Sure. You and I got to just spend a lot of time with individuals that work at Pokemon, not necessarily on Pokemon Unite, but just as a whole. Talk to the other casters and stuff. And... truly, it really feels like everybody at that company is behind this game. Like, they really like where it's going. They were impressed by the crowds, by the games, by the energy. Mm-hmm. They, like, believe in this thing. Mm-hmm. And while we take our time and handle the missteps, I think one thing we can at least hang our hat on is this game has continually, from the competitive aspect, taken steps forward. Which is very reassuring to me that there have been faults, there's been missteps, but they always kind of get back on the path and keep trudging forward to make this thing the best thing possible. I mean, if you look at the other prize pools for the other games, I mean, $500,000 for Unite year two. The other games don't even, they pale in comparison. So, I just wanted to say that out there because I know sometimes it feels like we're out on an island. Maybe the communication could be a little bit better. But overall, just being able to catch some of these folks face to face and ask those questions, it was very, it was a pleasant surprise and very reassuring that even the folks that aren't tethered to Unite specifically or its success were very excited for it, loved seeing it, were impressed by the showing at NEIC, are excited to have more of it, have ideas on how to incorporate it into like the grander picture of the other games, all this stuff. So, I just wanted to get that out there because that's something that like really stood out to me. And I think the community deserves to hear that the, you know, people believe, and we do too, obviously.
I can't reiterate that enough, like how much people are in the corner of this game and are working on it and putting together some really, really cool stuff. So I'm excited, very, very excited for the future of Unite Esports this year and beyond that too. Let's pivot a little bit away from the esports side of things. I know that's mostly what our podcast covers normally, but I want to talk about some in-game stuff because we have a lot of like really cool stuff at the game. Well, it depends on what you think about these certain things. A lot of new stuff coming to the game right now, and I'm just gonna title this topic new stuff for now. And the first one I think we could talk about is James Pond. That's right, Italian has now been added to the game. Fun new attacker. I think all three of us were kind of discussing it a little bit before the show. Like, we enjoy the Pokemon. He seems really fun. Ben, fun. I know you are an Italian enjoyer. Talk to me about this Pokemon.
All right, so I'm going to quickly restate a question that I asked on Twitter, and I will give you a little bit more details. And chat, you can guess.
Oh, that's
if
right.
If an Inteleon is running the following items: Choice Specs, Wise Lasses, and Spoon, which is what it should be running in every single game. Don't at me. how many characters can out-secure it at levels 1 to 6?
Okay.
At any point during that level range.
Now, Deucenex, we talked about potentially... like guessing our own and then going back for see who was more correct. I'm also down to work together on this and see if we can kind of put our heads together and think of all the Pokemon that could out secure it.
So yeah, let's work together because okay. I'm not gonna make it far on my own.
Okay, here. First one to me would have to be Urshifu Wicked Blow. Like that has okay. got to out-secure a Itelia, in my opinion. So that is one.
Buzzwole maybe.
Buzzwole 5 with what? Like it's superpower? It's moves. I know. I don't think it's got a lot of burst damage though. I don't know about.
Yeah, I guess Psyshock Espeon, that might not be a good one.
Okay,
good
Psyshock one. Espeon. Psyshock Espeon's a really good one. Solar Blade Leafeon? I don't know. That feels like a ton of damage, so I'm going to put that one up there too. So that's three. Ooh, Felstinger out-secures with full gauge.
You said 1-6, right?
Oh, did you give us a
yeah, so I said 1-6, though, like, I'd say, like, even level, right? So if you're dealing with, like, a level 3 Sobble, you're assuming level 3 Buzzwole for the Felstinger.
Okay. Okay, so yeah, Buzzwole then. We definitely include it. Okay, I'm going to say...
See? Buzzwole with its moves. Nailed it.
Yeah, you're actually with its moves. That's my favorite thing ever. Okay, we're at, what, 4 then? Braxton's not doing it. Cinder's not doing it. Aegislash Shadow's name? Boosted Auto?
You have to lean into the Boosted Auto for that one, I think.
Yeah, I don't think that's doing it. Man, I might be good with just saying 4. Gardevoir Psyshock? That's like 3 instances of damage, though.
The answer.
Okay, hold on. I'm saying 4. Deuce next, do you agree with 4? Or are you going to put in a different number?
No, it's just, we said we do this together. I'm with you. Let's go 4.
Okay. Solidarity at 4.
The answer.
Oh, Power is Punch?
Only Mr. Mime Confusion.
What?
No.
It out-secures Power Up Punch. It out-secures Superpower. It out-secures Felstinger. It out-secures Wicked Blow. And yes, let me make this clear. It out-secures Wicked Blow.
Oh my word.
Okay, that's... Hold on. So break this down for us, Ben. What is the metric you're using to do that? Just like a burst instance of damage? Or how is that like... I trust you. I just want to understand.
Like a like nearly unreactable set of like two to three instances of damage, right? So like Water Gun itself is 3 ticks. They happen fast enough that it's really hard to secure between them.
Okay.
Superpower has a long enough time between its first and second hits that you could actually hit the piece of farm while it's in the Buzzwole's hand.
Sure.
Otherwise, Superpower would beat it, but like if you know the matchup, you can actually just wait for them to pick it up with Superpower and Water Gun it and hit the Buzzwole too for a big chunk of damage.
So we're not exactly doing like raw damage number smites. We are saying that like this all together. Okay. Sure.
Yeah. So for example, you can count Mew Boosted and Mew E-Bulk and land it basically at the same time.
Okay. Yeah. That's true.
And it still loses the Water Gun, which is.
Let's go. Also, wild that we didn't think of Mew in this conversation because, yes, Electro Ball Boosted Auto is also in great security.
Yes. Okay. It is literally just Mime confusioning something into a wall. That is the
and
only
that
thing.
Has more burst damage at level 5 than Water Gun. That's crazy. That is crazy. Okay,
unironically
on OP. Let's go.
That if you could play Eviolite Drizzile and just keep that fucking broken move until zap, it'd actually be good.
maybe. You just play the Dwebble.
It's better than Snapshot. just saying.
That's crazy. That is so crazy. I love that. All right, well, cool. Shout out Mr. Mime, by the way, for just godlike secure and always getting disrespected. That's wild. Okay.
Monsieur Slime, man. Stay out here.
But yes, Sobble being hilariously overpowered aside.
Yes.
Wicked Blow at level 1, ladies and gentlemen. and everything in between, of course. I think Inteleon after level 6 is okay. You know, it's good.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like an interesting spot. Special attacker, so you get to use Spoon, which is nice. It's strong.
Yeah.
Okay.
Spoon is very good.
It's a good item. It's a good item, folks. It's a very good item. Okay, cool. All right. Well, there's also other new stuff too. I mean, Inteleon won't be competitive for a minute. We'll have to see. I assume teams will start streaming with it though, right?
We'll start scrimming. We're scrimming with it tomorrow, I think, maybe Friday. I don't remember.
Okay.
We are operating under the assumption it's legal for Worlds. We're operating under the assumption Mewtwo will not be.
Okay. Interesting. Quite the assumption. We'll have to see. I mean, time frame wise, it would be, right? I mean,
T-Tar wasn't.
And T-Tar was a at event release, though.
Neither was the Pokemon before it. What was before T-Tar?
I forget, but you're right. We'll see. Deuce Next, any thoughts on Inteleon?
I haven't gotten to play with it yet, but it seems very interesting. Seems fairly fairly acceptable on the surface. So yeah, I'm for it.
Cool.
That's like a quality release to me. You know, fun. Some people play it. It can be strong, but it's not going to ruin your games. So yeah, seems decent.
It seems good. It seems amazing in like a double defender style comp. Like if you just let it shoot all the time, it just seems great. Okay, Sheninja Doll. We have Sopwatch in Unite now. It finally happened. We were pretty terrified of this item. I think Ven and I were specifically pretty horrified about what this item could do. However, playing it, it actually feels like kind of okay in a game like Unite. Like pretty short cooldowns on most moves. Doesn't feel like you're baiting out too much. I think we're still kind of scratching the surface, like on how competitively strong it could be. But we'll see.
I was playing some five stack with you know, with Slash and a couple other people earlier. Slash was spamming Zoroark because Slash. And honestly, he was playing Sheninja Doll. It felt pretty good.
It feels genuinely so felt good on Zoroark. I feel like I think it feels so good on that Pokemon.
I think it is turbo broken on Grimmarant, and nobody will change my mind.
Okay.
And other than that, I think it's worth exploring. You know?
I have found success on Aegislash with it. On Aegislash, it has been amazing. I've been having so much fun in ladder with Sheninja Doll Aegislash. I just go in with Shadow Claw, like, and they all just turn and shoot at me, and then I press Sheninja Doll, and I'm fine. And then if they still have cooldowns, I just press Wide Guard. Like, it is that combo is so strong, especially late game. It feels really good because then your team just like collapses because you're just like baiting them. You baited all their cooldowns. You press Sheninja Doll, and your team just swings in. It's awesome.
So, like, you can use it, of course, as any at the timing of any other item, correct?
Yeah, just like a flash or a full heal.
Yeah, so, like, obviously, like, top of the list immediately without having to go too far into the well is, like, any Pokemon that has a Unite move in which once you activate, it's just kind of there, then you can hit the button. So, like, Slowbro, Slowbeam.
Cramorant. Okay.
Right?
Slowbeam?
So, like, Slowbeam hit.
Oh, I think Slowbeam would cancel it, wouldn't it?
Slowbeam might cancel.
I think, well, no, but hold on. I think the opposite way is what we're talking about right now. If you slow beamed a target and then clicked Sheninja Doll.
Correct.
Would you still be slow beaming the target? Probably not, right?
I don't believe so, no.
Yeah, I don't think so.
And also, you cannot doll while you're...
ulting, yeah, while you're channeling the ult, I don't think you'd be able to...
You can do it while you're in the ult animation, but like if you get slow beamed, you cannot press doll.
Okay. The only reason I think that is because I was playing Aegislash and I tried doing my big sword attack and then I Sheninja Dolled mid it and I lost my sword attack. So
yeah.
Okay.
There are like, maybe it's a case by case. I'm not too sure. The stuff came out very recently. So we'll have to get into it. Doll on Moonlight Clef. Okay. Ender's cooking. We'll have to see. A lot of times I just want a jack button more often, but yeah, on a specific Pokemon that just like doesn't really need positional advantage, yeah, that Sheninja Doll seems great. It seems really cool. I guess the main question I had for you, Ven, though, about it is it as like game breaking as we maybe talked about it potentially being back when this leaked?
No, I can't. No.
We've all seen League Stopwatch. We can't just say that, right? Yeah,
I can't say no, right? Because it's been like a day, and it like even within that small day, I've seen some use cases that were like insane. You know,
Zera Discharge is kind of fun. You like just jump in, press Discharge, and then doll. It's neat.
Like I'm like you know, 1 inch away from killing a Cramorant. He presses ult. I'm like trying to burn through his shield and just burst him down, and then like he just presses the Sheninja Doll and I die. Yeah. It's like, okay, cool.
Zeradon is insane. See, Kratos is already just going to be grinding new Zeraora. I know he is. He's so excited for competitive Zera meta. That'll be fun. It's been a long time. And speaking of which, I think we could probably start talking about the PTS patch, because it's not a live in-game, but there's like a ton of changes coming to the game. Mm-hmm. Ton of changes, some new Pokemon. Obviously, the announcement is even out there on Twitter and stuff, which is cool, by the way. It looks like socials around the game are kind of learning. They're like, okay, we know when you guys leak stuff, so let's start getting ahead of it a little bit. But hey, Mega Mewtwo X and Mega Mewtwo Y are coming. Both seem very strong, obviously, but they look really, really cool. Yeah, they buffed Mewtwo on PTS. I mean, hey, that's what PTS is for, right? Obviously, Mewtwo was underperforming to their standards. I do think it was like feeling like just okay. So I don't think that was unwarranted. Maybe that's a hot take. But I know we've all been hurt by Zacian, so I do understand the sentiment, but I particularly am excited for both Mega Mewtwos. I think they're so cool. I mean, I just love Mewtwo. Listen, this game's made for me, okay? I'm such a shill. They put Mewtwo in this game, and I'm just like, So I am quite excited. But Deusnext, any PTS change that you were able to see, whether on the Zeitgeist on Twitter, or if you got to play it a chance yourself, anything new change incoming that you're excited for?
The thing I'm most excited about is that Mewtwo was put in the PTS server. those that may not be in the know, Zacian never hit the PTS server, right? It was just like flipped on into the real game, and then it was like, oh no. At least there is some collection of data happening with Mewtwo through a community driven like testing effort. So yeah, that is the thing I'm most excited about, because I think that at least in some fashion help stem the potential cartoonishly overpoweredness of it. So yeah, that is my favorite thing, that that Pokemon is in there so people can see it.
About Mewtwo as well, I just want to like talk about this out front when we start discussing this Pokemon. Like, make no mistake, everyone, like, that Pokemon will be strong. Like, they know what they're doing. They're not going to put Mewtwo in the game and, like, make it not be a strong top-tier Pokemon. But we do have pretty high hopes for it entering PTS that it won't be. Like, Zacian was a different beast. It was a different beast. It ruined the game for a long time. So we are all hoping that that won't be happening again. Also, I saw someone asking if we know what Pokemon will be allowed for Worlds. We do not technically know quite yet. I'm pretty confident Inteleon will be added. I'm of the opinion that a Mewtwo might be added. I don't have anything official word or something like that. I think if Mewtwo is not Zacian level or bugged in some way, I'm pretty sure it'll be legal. But we'll see. We'll definitely.
Please,
I'm not
God
sure.
Almighty, do not let Zacian through.
Interesting. Okay,
we've gone a year. We don't need it.
Let's talk about that though. I think that's worth discussion. We've talked about it before. I mean, just a few episodes ago, Ven, you were saying that you thought it'd be fine if Zacian was in the game.
I thought it'd be fine, and then I thought about it.
Okay.
And it turns out that that thing. With that, like, first of all, like, even its post nerf win rate is like in the 51% ish range.
Mm-hmm.
How many NA pro players do you know who practice that character? Zero?
Not a lot, but I mean, you have a month.
No, that's not my point. Hear me out. How many EU pro players? I think it's just Japan. I'm pretty sure it's just Japan.
I mean, it was banned from their circuit too. I'm sure. I get it. I don't think that's a good.
I think
excuse.
That's not my excuse. I think that that character's true power is not shown yet. And I think that it will be. There's a chance that it's so potentially disgusting. I see Celestial and Lutano typing me in the chat. I know you're both liars. I stalk all your non APIs.
maybe not for the last 24 hours. You know, we got to get the dog.
True.
Okay. So yours is more of a preemptive. Like, you're like once the top players get their hands on it, it might be something different. Okay. Okay.
I don't know. It's kind of. It's. it's potentially really gross. I would like, but my number one thing is like, if they do allow it, I want to know, right? Like, I want to know not a week before the event what's allowed and what's not, you know?
Yeah. Okay. That is a really good point. Because yeah, so I kind of hope once there's like, once the incoming balance patch we're kind of expecting pretty soon happens, I hope that is when some decisions are made on these Pokemon. But yeah, that is a really good point. Dupes next. Thoughts on unbanning Zacian for Worlds?
Whatever. Let it through. Who cares?
Okay. It's been long enough.
I mean, at some point, you know, they could hit it with a nerf again. They could do something. I don't know. Like, get it in the game and actually see what goes on, I guess. I mean, so, if you think about Dota, they'll release a brand new patch, and then everybody's going to have to play with these bug things, like, 2 days later on, a massive event, right?
Okay, so, but like, nobody likes that.
Pro players don't like that. That's yeah. a very unique scenario here. I think on a visual level, and the people we're actually tailoring to, which is all the folks tuning in at home, let's see something. I mean, obviously, if it's broken, okay, we'll all advocate it for not to come off of the ban list. But that's exactly to your point. Its true power hasn't been unlocked. So, like, what is it actually capable of? How are we going to find that out?
Right.
True.
I agree with everything you said, except for like who we're doing balancing around, or who we're doing bans around and stuff. Like, I do think we should be competitive players first as our mindset when we're talking about a Pokemon that egregious. But in its state now, I do think it is worth giving it a shot at least. I would encourage grassroots tournaments to give it a shot. And we can see. Maybe we can get a
okay. You know what? I just saw Lutano's point in the chat, and you know what? Fair.
Sure.
You know what?
Okay. So for everyone who's not watching live, Lutano's saying that Umbreon is in the game. Man, just unleash the dog. That is true. Umbreon is unreal. I don't know if you've all played Ladder recently. That Pokemon is absurd. So yeah, we'll definitely have to see. I mean, those decisions thankfully aren't up to us. So some other people will have to make the call.
Just please tell us. That's all I'm asking is please tell us.
I think at the end of all that discussion, if that is our request, I think that it's an absolutely fair request that the players get that knowledge ahead of time, especially because PTS exists and people can actually try out some of these Pokemon that would potentially be involved. So yeah, I think that's a good point. Any closing thoughts, maybe some like sentiments towards Worlds or anything like that people want to shout out, or just like, yeah, things on the PTS. Any final thoughts on today's episode? Dupes next.
Yeah, I think Worlds is going to be dope. So let's get to it.
All right. Yeah, fair enough. Ven, would you also like to get to Worlds?
Yeah, Worlds is going to be pretty sick. Mm-hmm. I want to say a specific shout out to one other thing I didn't get to cover in NASC was like one of the magical things of meeting everybody in person.
Mm-hmm.
Was, you know, just like getting to like actually like see people like as the people they really are, and like a lot of hatchet burying was done. I think
good
for a fact. that, you know, like from a lot of our perspectives, it's not a matter of, you know, we would be not just as happy, but like the number two most important thing to each of our teams now, I think, is NA winning Worlds, with the number one, of course, being our individual teams winning Worlds.
Of course. Sure.
And I think that like at the end of the day, like you'll find a lot more collaboration and goodwill among the NA teams now, and I think that's really cool.
That's sick. That's something so exciting to me. I mean, the whole idea that we get to send more teams to Worlds is that we kind of get these little mega teams, you know? Like, we get a pod of four teams from North America, like a couple from Brazil to, like, work together. It's very exciting to me, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, there's a chance we, like, literally might be sharing a house with Team YouTube. Like,
sick. That's... God. What a cool house. That'll be so much fun. Japan in general, I mean, honestly, if everybody gets to go, it's gonna be such a cool event. Awesome. Well, I think that's gonna bring us to a close on this episode. We did a lot of talk about NAIC and all stuff coming up. In the episodes to come in the future weeks, we're definitely gonna be starting to talk about other regions and like on our road to the World Championships. It's gonna be a lot of fun. We're also gonna be doing a lot of cool Unite Mics content in the very new future. Some VOD reviews of other regions with some really cool special guests from those regions. So I can't wait to bring that kind of content to all of you. It's gonna be a lot of fun. So keep an eye at the Unite Mics Twitter. That's where all the posts will be coming up. And then of course here on the Twitch channel to catch it live or on YouTube in the time after. Overdunk is gonna be really sick. Yeah, Unite Mics Live. Bridget, Unite Mics Live was like this close to happening. It was like this close to happening. I had one too many theaters turn me down, and so unfortunate. But this close.
Next year.
Yes, next year Unite Mics Live, absolutely. But yeah, look forward to that cool content. But any other plugs from the two of you? Ven, anything to shout out?
Shout out, oh god, I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about this still.
Okay.
There's something cool coming soon, but I don't know if I'm contractually allowed to talk about it. So besides that, you'll know when you see it.
Am I in?
Shout out indirectly?
Ha, counts. I'll take
it. I think you know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about, yes. And for everyone, yeah. I know it's an announcement of announcement. It is very exciting. So definitely yes. Everyone look forward to it.
But anyway, also big shout out. Again, like there's so much to talk about with NAIC, and I get to talk about everything I wanted to. Big shout out to, of course, Katie from Good New Force for representing women in the top eight.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Very, very pog. We got one in each region. Let's
there
go.
We go. And they both popped off so hard.
They both
too.
Did.
Both had incredible tournaments. Katie mm-hmm. was playing on another level. I don't think I've seen from mm-hmm. Katie in a long, long time. Like it was, yeah. It was sick. Cool. Deuce next. How about you? Anything to sell out? Shout out.
Nah, you know what it is. Twitter.com/UniteMics. Follow it.
Sick. Of course, well, we're all looking forward to the studio tour. I cannot wait. You follow me at ZoinksCast, of course, but the important ones are just following Unite Mics basically wherever you can, Twitter, YouTube, and then, of course, if you want to listen to this on a podcast form, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Apple has it all for you there, as long as you drop a 5-star review. That's not true. That's not how it works, but we would love if you did. We'll be back next week, and then again, like I said, so much exciting content to look forward to from Unite Mics in this upcoming month. It's really going to be nonstop. I'm already stressed about the schedule, but I am so excited about it, and I cannot wait. So we'll see you all next time, everybody. Goodbye.